The Tarlhurst End Podcast.
We the blog
on thetarlhurstend.com.
Hello and welcome to the Tarlhurst End Podcast Extra in association with Get Reading for Friday the 19th of August 2016. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Dan Wimbush, editor of thetarlhurstend.com. I'm delighted to be joined, as always, by Get Reading's Reading reporter, Charles Watts. Charles, hello, how are you?
Dan, I'm very good, mate. How are you?
Yeah, not so bad, thank you. Well, the weather's taken a bit of a turn for the worse. It's gone all miserable all of a sudden. I thought we were supposed to be having a heat wave.
I know, I'm looking out the window now at it. Grey, miserable and wet.
Yes, rather like nice transition there, rather like how Reading season has suddenly started to look after a nice, bright, sunny opening. We spoke just before the start of the season. We were both a bit nervous about how it would go, but after 1 week, it all seemed to be great. Beat Preston, beat Plymouth, and then a couple of away trips to Wolves and Newcastle, and it's not quite looking as rosy.
No, but I think you've got to kind of put it all into perspective, really. I mean, two very tough away trips to Wolves and Newcastle, and you look at the contrast to how everyone was feeling this time last week, and now suddenly flip forward 7 days, and it's all doom and gloom because they lost two games. Yes, they were crap excuse my French at Wolves. It was a rubbish performance. They weren't good enough, and they got exactly what they deserved, which was nothing. But Newcastle, for anyone who went to that game and watched it, it was not a bad performance at all. They played well. I think they could easily got something out of it against a very strong Newcastle side. They got a couple of key decisions at a really important time did not go their way, and they ended up losing 4-1. The scoreline just did not reflect the game at all. And, you know, so I'm certainly not looking at it as complete doom and gloom like a lot of people are. I think social media has taken it's going a bit too far, and people are getting a little bit too carried away in the space of 7 days, from everyone raving about the Dutch revolution and the football Reading were playing to suddenly being all relegation certainties, owners get your checkbook out now type thing. It's, I think some people are just getting a little bit carried away with what exactly has happened in the last week. Yes, they got no points from two games, but they were two very tough away games, and one performance wasn't good enough, but the other, it was a decent performance. It wasn't anything to be massively worried about, which I know sounds stupid because they lost 4-1.
Yeah, I can only agree. I said exactly the same on social media after the Newcastle result. I said, look, be patient. With four games into this process, I don't know a single team in history that's ever completely changed their style with four games, especially with the amount of turnover that Reading have had player-wise. Just quickly before we move on from that Newcastle game, two penalty, as you mentioned, two contentious decisions. It's the two penalty calls just after half-time that were the real sort of turning points in the game. What did you think of both of them? Did they get both decisions right, both wrong?
Well, I haven't seen a replay properly of the Gunter one. It just in real time, you're watching it, and it's just what you see every single time a corner comes in. I mean, straight afterwards, Reading responded really well to going behind, and got about three or four corners themselves in a short space of time. And during two of those corners, Joey Vandenberg hit the floor sort of as he went to win the header, being pulled and shoved, and nothing given. But so I just find it, I mean, he must have had a really good view of it, the referee, Andrew Madley, to give Newcastle their one. I mean, I couldn't see from where I was. It just looked like your classic tangle of arms, legs, about four people going for the ball, about five people hit the floor, and yet Reading got punished. I thought it was incredibly harsh to give it.
You know, it's amazing that a referee can spot that, but he couldn't spot a deliberate handball within the first 5 minutes of the game, isn't it?
That was unbelievable, I can believe. When he signalled for a goal, I thought all hell was going to break loose. I mean, I was right behind the dugouts, and yes, Stam went absolutely mad when he signalled for the goal. I feared for the safety of the fourth official at that moment. But luckily, the linesman put his flag up, and it wasn't given, because I don't know what happened if that guy was given. But then going back to the penalty decision, obviously that one got given. Reading were on top at this time. They'd gone in at half time. They got the goal back, which they deserved to go in level. And Newcastle were getting very edgy, as I thought they would. The fans were getting edgy. You know, it was a massive point of the game just after half time to suddenly get Newcastle back in front again and give everyone a lift. But even after that, Reading responded really well. Like I said, they put a lot of pressure on for the next 10 minutes, won a load of corners. You could tell that Newcastle were rocking, and there was a goal in the offing. And then just at that moment, Gareth McCleary gets tripped. Clear penalty. I'm sorry, it's a definite penalty. I've seen a couple of replays of it, albeit on Twitter, so not exactly zoomed in and great quality. But to me, this is like he trips. He gets to the ball first, knocks around the defender, and gets taken out. It's just a penalty. And it's not given. And, you know, it's just really, really massive key decisions. And when you go to a place like Newcastle, you've got to get those go your way if you want to get something out of the game, really. And Reading didn't get it. They got no luck whatsoever. and ended up losing 4-1. And I mean, three of those goals, you look at it, one was a penalty, one was a free kick from 25 yards. And even the first one came from, it was a breakdown from a set piece as well. And the fourth one was, you know, right at the end when the game was gone and it was already done, dusted. So I know it sounds stupid, and seeing the reaction to what Yapstam had to say after the game as well, it was, you know, he came in for a lot of criticism for it, but he was talking quite a lot of sense, even though it seems madness after losing 4-1. It was not a 4-1 game, far from it. Reading could have easily got something from it, but like I said, at really, really important parts of the game, the key decisions didn't go their way.
And that's the difference, isn't it, between Reading and Newcastle. Newcastle have got the quality of player and they've got the money to spend on that quality of player so that when they're not at their best, they can get the occasional moment of magic. They can gut their way to the odd result. Reading just don't have that margin of error. Everything's kind of got to go right for them.
Absolutely, 100%. I mean, Dwight Gale scored two goals, the two key goals in that game. He cost £10 million. That's more than the entire Reading squad put together is worth. And that kind of sums it up. It's what Reading are battling against this season. And, you know, like I said, there's whatever your opinion on the owners and how much they are or are not spending, considering the money they've got in transfer fees, that it's just the way it is. You know, that Reading are dealing in a very sort of cheap market at the moment, and against teams like Newcastle with a financial clout they've got, it's very, very hard to cope. But saying that, I thought they coped very well up there and delivered a very good account of themselves.
Yeah, at the end of the day, I don't like being this unambitious, but the bottom line is Reading have got to be better than three Championship teams this year. Mm-hmm. That is the minimum requirement. And from what I've seen over four games so far, I'm very confident they'll be able to do that. I don't think they're going to be anywhere near the top six, unless major things happen in the next couple of weeks. But I can't see them being in that bottom three. I'm not panicking. And I can't really make too many firm judgments. It's four games in.
Yeah, and I think that the signs have been good. Take the Wolves game out of it where they weren't good enough. They had an absolute nightmare. They started badly and just couldn't get out of it. They got it all wrong. You know, the possession football that we've seen, the passing out for the back, which they did at Newcastle exactly like they did at Wolves, but the only thing is they actually did it properly at Newcastle and didn't really bring too many problems on themselves. At Wolves, they just got it wrong every single time they tried it, and it was just a disastrous performance. But, you know, they were much better at Newcastle. They played the same way. They didn't, you know, the Yapstam didn't change anything. They still played it out from the back, but this time they got it right. They drew Newcastle on, then suddenly played it through them and sprung forward on the breakaway, and they did it work pretty well in the first half and nearly scored a brilliant goal off it when Roy Behrens hit the bar. So, it was, you know, take the Wolves game out of it. All the other performances I've seen from Reading so far this season are promising. And so I'm not getting overly worried about the two defeats. And, you know, they might well lose this Saturday. They're playing the tabletop as you haven't conceded a goal yet. But even if they do lose this Saturday, I'm still not going to be overly concerned. Because, like you say, this season's not about promotion. It's not about getting in the top six. It's just not. It's about showing some sort of sign of progress for me and finishing, you know, in and around mid-table, but with signs that next season they could sort of take another step forward. And so far, what I've seen on the pitch, there are a few signs of progress. And what Stam's doing, is there are some promising signs. So I'm not losing any sleep over the last week.
Yeah, and in the cold light of day, if you said, is a mid-table side going to go to Wolves and lose? You'd probably say, yes. Is a mid-table side going to go to St James's Park and lose? Yes. Is a mid-table side going to beat Preston at home? Yes. So Reading is sort of on par for really what most of us expected, a mid-table season. Those are exactly the type of results you expect. So no reason, as I said, for either of us to be panicking yet. So if you are slightly nervous, just try and relax for a little bit. And hopefully we'll have some reinforcements on the way. We've already seen one signed this week. We'll come on to him in a second, Charles. But the big rumbling transfer story that doesn't seem to want to go away is Liam Moore. Yeah. He tweeted yesterday that it looked like there might be some progression. I mean, where do we sit at around 11 o'clock on Friday morning?
Well, I can't really give too much more about that than yesterday, because I have to say I haven't been able to find out what happened. I know that yesterday there was quite a big sort of meeting going on about that transfer and whether it's moved forward or not. I am not entirely sure, because I was travelling home all day yesterday from Newcastle and I've had a very sick daughter, which I've been up all last night with, and I'm in the office for a couple of hours today before shooting off to help look after her again. So I haven't exactly been chasing up, but just before I got on the phone to you, I did speak to someone about it, and nothing's expected today. So, but I don't think that was ever really expected anyway. I think hopefully yesterday, if the meeting went well, then things will start progressing on it. But the thing with this transfer, I've got, I'm just not taking anything for granted.
I was about to say, what's your gut feeling on it? Is this going to happen?
I think it will happen, but it all depends on Leicester. I mean, it should have happened ages ago, and it hasn't, solely because Leicester have just changed the goalposts so many times at the last minute. And you look at what the Jeffrey Schlupp transfer as well, it's exactly the same thing, and it's the same people holding it up, and it's, you know, it's frustrating for everyone involved. It's certainly frustrating for a player who just wants to get on with his career now, and he's been held up by a team who are, you know, who he loves. He's come through the ranks there, but at the end of the day, he's got 1 year left in his contract. He's not going to play this season. He's not been given a squad number. He's not been allowed in the first team changing room. So what on earth are you keeping him for? Let him go. I mean, geez, the money involved in the Premier League now. Yeah. I think they can take a little bit of a hit on a transfer fee if they're demanding 3 million, whatever they're demanding. I think they can afford to take a little bit
just
of a hit.
Just stick a big, if you're that confident of his future potential, just stick a big sell-on clause in.
I know.
I'm sure Reading right now would pretty much take anything in terms of sell-on. They'll probably say, yeah, okay, we'll take a 20-25% sell-on clause. Just give him to us.
Yeah, exactly. It's just, believe me, it is frustrating the hell out of absolutely everyone behind the scenes of a football club. They're desperate to get this one over the line. The player wants to join, just get it done. I mean, it's just, I don't understand Leicester's thinking behind it. I just feel, and it's not just me, I know that everyone at Reading feels desperately sorry for the player in this situation as well, because it's at the end of the day, it's harming him, isn't it? He should be playing football. What's the point of keeping him when you're not going to be playing him, and you're just going to be basically telling him for the next year to run around the training pitch for 365 days? Just let the boy get on with his career. It's not doing anyone good, and it's certainly not, Leicester certainly aren't coming out of it smelling the roses, aren't they, the way they're sort of treating the player. So it's, the mind boggles. But hopefully, from what I understand yesterday, that they, Reading again, were hopeful that they were going to be able to get things done, and the talk has again switched around to it being a permanent, not a loan, which obviously the loan was kind of revolved around more signing a new contract, which looked like it was going to happen. The deal was pretty much in place that he was going to then come to Reading, not on loan for the season, but at the last minute, Moore decided to change his mind. He didn't want to be bullied into signing a new contract.
Good on him.
He explained his reasons why on Twitter as well when he came in. He didn't want to be sort of farmed out for the next 3 years. He just wants to go now and start his career somewhere. And fair play to him for that. So that loan idea was scrapped, and now hopefully the talk again is around to getting it done on a permanent deal. And we'll wait and see. But like I said, I can't take anything for granted with this transfer, because I thought it was going to be done ages ago. Everyone did, and it hasn't.
Yeah, one of these real. We're just going to have to wait this out and see how it happens. But at least Reading have got one through the door this week. Summer signing number 9, Sandro Vesser, a Liechtenstein midfielder. He signed from the Swiss leagues. No idea of the fee, as everything these days is undisclosed. Do you think they've paid?
Free transfer.
Is it free? Okay, yeah. Well, there you go. Even better. What do we know about this guy? The only thing that seems to pop up is in a very unfortunate legal case involving him.
Yes, he got a bad tackle. It was a horrible tackle. You see it on the videos, isn't it? And he got dragged through the courts because of it. And I think he ended up sort of being classed as assault. And he had to pay a fair bit of money and everything. But the poor guy who got his knee very, very badly bashed up. So aside from that, we don't really know too much about him. I was speaking to someone, a Liechtenstein journalist, who contacted me about it last night and was asking a few questions. He was telling me about him, said he's a decent ball-winning midfielder, got a good left foot on him, scores the occasional worldie, as he said. That's pretty much all I know about him. I've never heard of him before he joined.
How dare you not have an intimate knowledge of Liechtenstein's international side? Call yourself a journalist.
So I can't really say too much about him, but he's strong. He's obviously likes to tackle, as we've seen. Physical, sort of decent physique, tall guy, very much sort of defensive midfielder, which I think Reading need. I know all the talks about sorting out the defence and attack, but I really do think they need a defensive midfielder, because George Evans, for me, certainly at Newcastle, although I thought Reading played very well, I thought George Evans really struggled up there against a decent team. But I think the game sort of was too quick for him. It passed him by, and the third goal was down to him. He got robbed of possession, then sort of gave the foul away, trying to win it back, and they scored the goal from the free kick. And I thought, kind of sort that some his day up, really. I'm just not sure about him in that holding role. It's a big ask to sort of fill into what Oliver Norwood was doing. So I think Reading need to sort that out, and they've done it, so fair play to them. We've just got to hope that this guy's decent. Because
Did you get the feeling that this guy signed to go straight into the first team, or is he just there to provide a bit of competition for the likes of Van Berg?
I think as long as he's decent, and that's the thing, because I have no idea what he's like, and you presume that Reading must think he's decent because they've signed him. So as long as he is decent, and once he settles in, he might not start straight away. He might take a little bit of time to bed in, but I imagine he has been brought in to play that role. Otherwise, they wouldn't have signed him, because like you said, they had Joey Van Den Berg there. They got a few other options. So it wouldn't surprise me if he is the sort of holding player sitting in front of the back four, and then you got one of either Joey, Danny, John Swift, everyone, and George Evans, obviously, who would play in the slightly more advanced roles and rotate. But I think like, providing he's all right, which I hope he is, then I think he'll start.
Vesser and Van Den Berg in the same midfield might get a bit tasty.
Yeah, so I've got to say, I'm not sure about Joey yet. I was impressed with Joey during pre-season. A couple of games, I thought he looked quite good, but the speed of play, obviously, in pre-season is an awful lot slower, and I think he's...
He's not a centre-back. He's certainly not a centre-back.
He's certainly not a centre-back, I'll give you that, but I'll be interested to see how he copes with the speed of play in central midfield as well. I think that yellow card count is gonna quickly clock up with him in central midfield, so it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, then again, I think Reading fans have been crying out for someone that gets stuck in a bit, and if the odd yellow card is a byproduct of that, I don't think it's the worst thing in the world, as long as it doesn't lead to too many goals, of course. So we talked about Moore and Vesser. Any other transfer news on the horizon, either in or out? Any other names being mentioned? There was a Slovenian winger who was apparently pictured at Reading's training ground, and it apparently wasn't him.
That's not true. That's Cernich. I've told a while back that there was nothing in that one. In fact, the words we used were ball, and then you know what follows it. So I don't think that one's going to be happening. And do Red need another winger? Not really. From what I understand, that defence is very much a priority right now. Not just Moore as well, just more, as in Liam Moore, but more players will be coming in defensively. I don't think we're just going to see one. I think we could see two, even three, come in before the end of the transfer window in defence. I think it's sorting out that back line, certainly adding to the options, possibly even adding to the first team options. So I think we'll see. Definitely a left back come in, possibly a right back, and obviously a centre back, which hopefully will be Liam Moore. And then a striker as well is certainly on the agenda, but sorting the defence out first is a priority. And so I think we could still have a couple of busy weeks ahead of us before deadline. I think, you know, sort of three signings, possibly four might arrive, but we'll have to wait and see. But sorting out defence is key. But in terms of names, I haven't got anything to give you on names at the moment. I'm afraid they're being kept well under wraps.
Yeah, talking about an overhaul, if there's three or four more in, that would take the signing tally up to 12, 13. Unprecedented in a summer.
Yes, big numbers.
Ridiculous. Craig Tanner has gone out on loan. He's joined Plymouth until January, so that's one out the door. Any other rumblings about these younger players? Because the one thing that did surprise me against Plymouth was how little Yap involved players like Tariq Fosu. I know Dominic Samuel's injured, but it does seem like Fosu's sort of out of the frame now this season, or at least until Christmas.
It kind of does at the moment. I'd expect him to head out on loan fairly quickly. Same goes for people like Jack Stacey, Aaron Court. Wouldn't be surprised at all to see them head out on loan. I think it's quite clear the fact they weren't given squad numbers, no matter what they said afterwards, what the Yapstam said afterwards, is pretty clear that he's thinking about other players at the moment. So I think we'll be seeing them follow.
So then it's Brighton next up at the Benassi Stadium. Like you said earlier, it doesn't get much easier for Yapstam after going to Newcastle. You've got the current Championship leaders pitching up at the Mad Star. They've scored three each in the last two games. But if you are looking for the positives for Reading, they do tend to raise their game at home against the better sides, and Yapstam's unbeaten in three at the Mad Stad. So any chance of that continuing for you?
There's a chance, yeah. I think in my prediction, unfortunately, it's going to be a Brighton win.
there we go.
I think there's a chance. But I think Brighton are one of the really strong teams in this league this season. I think look at the results so far, and the addition of Glenn Murray is going to bring them goals. You know that Brighton are never going to concede too many. I think they've got a very strong side now. So they're settled in defence, settled in midfield. They've got absolute quality player in Anthony Knockaert, providing sort of ammunition for a striker like Glenn Murray. You know he's going to score goals. So I think Brighton are going to be very, very close. They're going to push Newcastle and Norwich all the way this season, I think, and in that promotion race. So it's going to be a real tough game for Reading. It'd be a good test to see how they cope against a decent side at home. And we've seen them dominate possession so far at the Mad Stad in those games. It'll be interesting to see if they can enjoy themselves so much with the ball against a team like Brighton. But Yeah, unfortunately, I think that Brighton are going to have just too much room.
Do you think Yap will make any changes? I post up on the Talisman.com sort of the team I would pick. I would bring Jake Cooper in just because I just want a proper defender in there against such a good team. But do you think he'll make any significant changes?
I wouldn't be surprised to see Mendes start. I think Mendes came on, got 20 minutes against Newcastle, and Jan Kerwigan has just done nothing for me this season. And
no, I agree.
It looked very sort of lumbersome up front. There was a couple of great balls put in at Newcastle, and he just seemed really flat-footed, and ones that you'd normally attack. You know, Kerwigan, real good in the air, and it seems like he's just not really with it at the moment. It's surprising. He's not done enough, and he's been given enough chances this season. So I wouldn't be surprised if Mendes, as long as he didn't suffer any sort of recurrence of the injury or anything up at Newcastle, which it didn't look like he did, I think he might well come in and lead the line. Like you, I'd like to see Jake Cooper come back in at centre-back, because Joey Vandenberg, it's very, for me, just doesn't work. He's not centre-back, not at all. And I'd like to see him come back in, but I don't think he will. I think it's obvious that Stam doesn't fancy Jake Cooper. The fact that Joey Vandenberg is still playing at centre-back says an awful lot for what Stam's thinking, as does the continued pursuit of Liam Moore. So I think he'll stick with the same defence, and Joey will continue alongside Paul McShane. But I'd like to see Jake come in.
Yeah, just get back to proper defending for me, especially against the likes of Hemed and Glenn Murray. But we'll see how they get on. You've already hinted then you're going for a defeat. In the official prediction league standings, you picked up your first point in Newcastle. Very well, nearly got it right. You went.
I should get 2 points for that. I think I got the aggregate score right. 3 goal difference.
Yes. Well, no. Actually, nobody predicted Reading would even score at Newcastle. So that's how confident the five of us were going into that one. So after 3 games, I'm top on 4 points. Johnny and Westy and Handbags have got 2, and at the moment you're on 1. You know, it's better to make the late charge, as you found out last season.
Yes, I'm changing my tactics.
So I've gone for a 1-1 draw. Johnny says 3-1 to Brighton. Westy says 3-0 to Brighton. And Handbags is going 2-1 to Brighton.
2-0 Brighton.
2-0 Brighton. Okay, there you go. So there you go. I'm a lone voice of positivity. There's a rare thing for this one. And then it's the MK Dons on Tuesday as well. Not, again, the EFL Cup, it is what it is. Looking forward to this one. Good chance to see some other players. I mean, the game was fairly entertaining.
Yeah, no, I think it would be a decent game. I really want to see Mate get a start. I've been quite impressed with him since I've seen him. Very raw, you can tell. It kind of reminds me of when I first started seeing Jimmy Kebbe play. You know, bags of pace, but very, very raw, and needs quite a bit of work done on him. But I think he's got quite a bit about him.
There's something there, isn't there?
Yeah, I think there definitely is. You know, he doesn't seem fazed by it. Even when he came on up at Newcastle, I thought he got stuck in, got involved, got on the ball, and caused him a few problems with his direct running. So I'd like to see him get a start. And I'd like to see Liam Kelly as well come in. I think he deserved to get a start just from his performances during pre-season, but I don't think he will, judging by the team that Stan went for against Plymouth. But no, yeah, look forward to it. I think Reading will win that one.
And it set up an inevitable meeting with Arsenal, I'm sure.
Yes, I was just talking about that on Twitter earlier, sort of reminiscing about that 7-5 game.
I saw that
Reading tweeted that the Middlesbrough 3-2, which was 10 years ago today, was arguably the most exciting game Mazdad's ever seen, but I beg to differ.
I know, you're thinking about the most horrifying game Mazdad's ever seen. But anyway, we won't talk too much about Arsenal given your start to the season, so we'll probably cut the show there.
Yes, I'm talking about high-scoring games.
Right, Charles, thank you very much for joining me. As always, you can follow Charles on Twitter @Charles_Watts, and of course, head over to getreading.co.uk to keep up with all of the latest news, lots of opinion pieces and team previews, and lots of great content up on there, as is on the TileSden.com. Lots of fan opinion and analysis up there, both from the Newcastle game, looking ahead to this Brighton game, and of course throughout the week as well. We've got lots of different bits and pieces, including an opinion piece on whether the EFL Cup, the League Cup itself, has a future in the long term, so go check that out. In the meantime, Charles, have a cracking weekend. Let's hope the rain lifts and hope we get a few points on the board.
Yes, that's touch wood, hope so.
All right, Charles, take care, have a great day.
All right, mate, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Get social with the boys.
Find them on Twitter
@TheTarlhurstEnd
and facebook.com/TheTarlhurstEnd.